Today, my guest is Nurse Barbara Stark, who is a certified family nurse practitioner and is certified in holistic nursing by the American Holistic Nurses Association. Barbara is a clinical instructor at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo, Michigan. She has taught wellness programs for more than 20 years, and she's a member of the Leadership Council of the AHNA. And she's also directly responsible, we like to affectionately call her our co-producer here at Celebrating Whole Health, because she is the woman behind the scenes who actually created the impetus to get the program going. So, Barbara, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to have you, and, you know, it really is no small feat, and I'm not being facetious when I say you did kind of twist my arm there, didn't you?
Well, you were a willing vessel, Georgiana.
a willing vessel, but I needed the nudge, you know. It is a joy to serve the American Holistic Nurses Association in this way, and it's a joy to know and meet and really interact with you, Barbara, because you are truly, you epitomize the intensity and the passion and the philosophy of whole person care and whole person nursing. And today we get to tell your story. We've been telling stories now for, my goodness, we're going into our second month now, and we've been telling a lot of stories and listening to wonderful journeys that nurses have shared with us. So I'd like to begin at the beginning with you, as we always like to with our nurses, and talk about when you went to nursing school. I know you shared with me, you said, well, I think I had the same motivation that all nurses do. I wanted to make a difference, and in particular, I wanted to help children. Second month now, and we've been telling a lot of stories and listening to wonderful journeys that nurses have shared with us. So I'd like to begin at the beginning with you, as we always like to with our nurses, and talk about when you went to nursing school. I know you shared with me, you said, well, I think I had the same motivation that all nurses do. I wanted to make a difference, and in particular, I wanted to help children not to suffer. So would you start there for us and talk to us about your journey?
Well, you know, I think my journey is so familiar to so many people that it isn't an unknown story. You know, I came from a family that was a wonderful family. It was perfect for me, and yet I knew growing up that there was enough dysfunction going on that something wasn't quite right here. And so as I matured, my own inner commitment to my soul was, I'm going to do it differently. And I think that's what every child, and maybe not, maybe I'm naive, but I think that all of us are in this, on this path that helps, you know, you go on a path because you want to make a difference. You need to have some sense of purposefulness in your life. You want to make you want to help make change. I've always been very active as a change agent. I always thought that's a perfect role as a nurse, because when we see people, they only come to us because there needs to be a change. There's a disease process going on. There's something in their life going on that they say, I need to change this. And for me, that's always been the beauty of disease. You know, people don't change unless things get bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found nursing. I guess I really didn't intend to go into nursing. I intended to go into early child development. Again, because I loved working with children. From a family perspective, though, I thought the children needed to be heard. Probably because growing up as the middle child, I was not heard. And so you just do what you do. There's no real conscious plan. You just do what you do.
Interesting, Barbara, because I think I shared this with you. I myself am a middle child, and that whole understanding of wanting a voice, wanting to have value, to be valued, where so often, and I think we can use a metaphor in our society, that there are so many people who are middle children in our culture, in our society, and holistic nursing is able to hear them and value them and invite them into their fullness. And in hearing you speak about it, that's what comes to mind. And you shared a wonderful piece of information that I think is important. First of all, you went to a 7-day Adventist nursing school, which I have to tell you, that is not the usual journey for nursing. And so we want to hear about that, because you said it was very holistic, and you being flower child and an earth mother and an old hippy-dippy, you had a wonderful connection to the nursing school that you went to, and it felt really good, and you really loved it, which is quite unusual, quite frankly, in the nursing journeys that we hear as far as their, you know, the nurse's experience of their education. So would you share with us that that very unique experience of going to nursing school and really feeling that you know, you were resonating with the values?
Yeah. Well, I went to that particular nursing school, to Andrews in Berrien Springs, Michigan, because I lived by there. And I knew when I was newly married, I was working 3 jobs, and it dawned on me, I had left my education in early child development because I fell in love. He moved, so I moved. You know, the very typical story that I thought I needed to go with this guy and to the end of the earth. And so here I end up in Michigan from Wisconsin. And after working 3 jobs and realizing that, you know, I'm not going to get anywhere in my life unless I go back to school. So as I looked around figuring out, well, what am I going to do? Andrews was right here, 10 miles from my home, and they had a nursing program. And it occurred to me, you know, ever since I was a little girl, I was always a nurse for Halloween. I was the care provider. I was the nurturer in the family as far as the other children were concerned. I was the one who was, if anyone was going to be the mother, I was the one that everyone thought, surely she's going to have 6 kids and blah, blah. So I went to Andrews and checked out their program. And when I realized what their emphasis was, I felt extremely pleased that here was a program that resonated with my holism, with my flower child mentality of being conscious of the earth, being conscious of the body, what you put into the body. And so it was simply a good fit. Now, are you there?
I'm listening attentively. Yes.
I realized as I was in the program that, you know, this is a different program than other nursing students that I was coming in contact with. Now, you have to appreciate that in Michigan we have University of Michigan, we have Michigan State, we have, you know, like 40 schools of nursing, all of them wonderful. And I felt like, you know, I'm not sure I'm up to snuff with those other schools, because Andrews, the Seventh-day Adventist, was not technically focused. They were spiritually focused on mind-body nursing. They were very definite in being nursing-focused. And what I noticed were the other students, nurses, at the other schools were much more sophisticated with technology and with the medical model. And when I was going through nursing, I felt rather discounted. I felt like I'm not as good a nurse as they are. And yet, as I got out into my nursing career, I realized that that was absolutely perfect, because I am 100% and then some committed to the nursing model. I do not want to emulate a medical model. Mm-hmm. And I see that that's what's happening with nursing today. We're continuing to realize that we have not embraced a nursing model. We continue to want to embrace a medical model. And I think that that is very destructive to the nursing profession.
Interesting that, you know, you're discussing this, because at some point or other during the course of our interviews with nurses, we talk about their own experience, and we talk about what's going on in nursing education today. And it sounds, Barbara, as if there really is not a cohesive approach to nursing. There really is not a balanced curriculum that looks at the technical and looks at the holistic. For the most part, there certainly are schools out there that do that across the country, that do that, wonderful schools. Mm-hmm. But when we look at the majority of nursing programs, it seems from what the feedback is that there is a direction of technical medical nursing that seems to be the preferred curriculum with some of the history of nursing. And I'm sure that this is somewhat disturbing, you being a member of the Leadership Council of the AHNA. Is this a topic that you all talk about and try to find some suggestions or ways of thinking about, changing those curriculums?
Yeah, and I do see it changing, which is very gratifying. That's why the reason that I am at Western is because it is committed to holism, relationship-centered care, and community health nursing. So we have, this three-legged stool that supports our curriculum that is probably one of the more unique curriculums throughout the country. Now, Fetzer Institute helped start the nursing program at Western, which is another blessing. Fetzer is it's a visionary organization that is internationally focused, that is supported by these visionary leaders in healthcare philosophy, business, and their vision is to help change consciousness towards relationship-centered care, whether it's for a corporation that is healthcare-focused or a corporation that is in globalization with manufacturing and marketing. Mm-hmm. So having their influence in our program has been enormously powerful.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. I mean, they are an outstanding organization,
yeah.
And
those,
as you know, because you have the wonderful Gene Watson in your organization, Gene was honored with the Norman Cousins Award from the Fetzer Institute.
We
know that they have a commitment to recognizing heart-centered and relationship-centered care, which is really a very important thing for us to uphold as a value and as a goal, of course, in nursing as well as healthcare. We are going to have to take a break. We are just chatting away, and yes, I am listening very intently to you, so if you don't hear any noise, it's just that I'm listening to every word you're saying. We're going to take a 2-minute break. We're going to be back, and we're going to talk some more about your very fascinating and unusual journey. We'll be right back.
This is Richard Tyson. Most people think of the Shriners as a fun organization, but they have a serious side too. How do I know? Well, I'm a Shriner. Shriners Hospitals provide kids with expert medical care totally free of charge. And they combine orthopedic and burn care with progressive research and innovative teaching programs. There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. For more information, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Children who struggle to learn are like buried treasure. They have a wealth of intelligence locked inside. It just takes the right key to unlock it. A lot of these kids who struggle are smart. They just learn differently. Don't keep this treasure locked away. For free information, visit www.focusonlearning.org. Focusonlearning.org. Or call 1-888-478-MIND. A message from the Advertising Council and the CCLD.
Welcome back to Celebrating Whole Health, a program that focuses on reinvigorating, remembering, and creating a renaissance of relationship-centered whole person care. We're talking to Barbara Stark. Barbara is a certified family nurse practitioner. She's a member of the Leadership Council of the American Holistic Nurses Association. And I tease her and I say, Barbara, it's all your fault. The reason that this program is on the airwaves is because you twisted my arm. But Barbara Stark is really the she's the gal behind the scenes, along with Bill May, our producer, who have helped to create a voice for nurses through Nurse Daily. Barbara, before the break, we were talking about the kind of state of nursing education, and we were talking about the American Holistic Nurses Leadership Council. And clearly, healthcare itself is in disarray. We all know that. We all know that there's confusion. There's so many initiatives going on to try to save healthcare, create educational incentives, to do all kinds of issues. How is it? I mean, you're teaching at a wonderful university, as you explained, that was supported by the Fetzer Institute in its beginnings. And you're also standing in the middle of the health and the nursing profession. What does it look like from your vantage point? And what do you think, being a seasoned and expert nurse practitioner, what do you think is necessary to make change or to bring about a renaissance of relationship-centered care?
Georgiana, could you get any more complicated in your question?
Well, then it wouldn't be the show, would it?
Wow.
Well, see, the simple, let me put it to you this way. One of the commitments that we talked about, you and I talked about before we even started the program, is we need to ask the questions and we need to discuss things that sometimes we're not generally willing or able to discuss otherwise. And these are questions, probing questions, that we need to create a voice to speak and to hear.
Well, you know, I always, on my journey, I always looked to the body to give me the affirmation and the answers. You know, because how the body functions, and when I say body, I don't mean just the physical body, I mean the body-mind. How the body-mind functions is very clear that it's from the inside out, and it is an outside-in journey. So that as the body heals from the inside out, as it is affected by the environment inside, from the outside in, that's how we're doing it. So, not to be very confusing for you, but we simply do it by doing it. As I listen to my inner voice and honor my own process and be true to my heart's song as that sweet, darling 12-year-old boy with muscular dystrophy. I don't know if you heard him. He's been on National Public Radio a couple times now. Stefanik, I think. Anyway, as he says, you listen to your heart song, which is a book that he has written on how is it that you do what you do. And I think that it's by listening. It's by honoring your own heart song and acting on it. So as women, as nurses, as holistic nurses, I think holistic nurses illustrate really well the ability to model mind, body, spirit. You can be an exceptional technical nurse and be holistic. You can be an exceptional hospice nurse if you listen to your own heart song. And so I think that's what we're doing. And nursing education is now seeing that there is indeed a place, a necessary place for holism to be in the curriculum. Healthcare is realizing that if we only deal with the technology and the pharmaceuticals, we are failing. So I think our own experience is telling us that we have to remember, as you were saying last night, that there is a that we are human, and what does it mean to be human? And we have long, we have for too long lost our humanness as we got more and more caught up in the technology, in the empiric science of the research. And now we're coming back and realizing that there's so much more dynamicism to us as a species. And our survival absolutely depends on our paying attention to who we are as human beings. And what I think's going on, Georgiana, is 9/11, as trite as it sounds, put us very squarely on the fast track, that was the wake-up call, that if we fail to listen to our heart song as a global society, we will continue to move towards our demise. And I think that that's what happened. I think that 9/11 was an essential piece of our waking up. It was tragic, and it's been absolutely vital to us.
I know you and I ventured into waters that I asked your permission to discuss on the air, because I think that these are meaningful and they are connected to nursing, although they go beyond nursing. I shared with you the book that I'm reading, The Twilight of the American Culture, which talks about how we have really gotten into, we've fallen into an abyss of the sensual, the material, the momentary, the immediate, the short term, the gratification, the pleasure. When we look at our culture, is it any wonder that we have a medical system that is in the condition that it's in?
Mm-hmm.
When we talk to, you know, doctors and nurses, and we hear stories about people just want the medication.
Mm-hmm.
You had shared with me some experiences that you had had where you felt something was missing from nursing, where, you know, a lot of people would not really want to look at changing. They would not really want to look at mm-hmm. becoming responsible or integrated into their care. And that, you said an amazing thing, I'd love for you to talk about it. You said something was missing, and I didn't know whether I should go work at the forge and become a metal worker, or if I should find a way to make nursing be meaningful in the way I felt was important.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't criticize people who simply want that quick fix. I think that's their right. Because I always feel as though a true democracy allows us choices. People have to have the freedom to choose. And people are only able to choose when they have information. So the job of us as nurses is to provide information about what is available so that they can make conscious choices.
Well, you're singing our song, because one of the mottos at our school program in Boston is you can't change old behavior without new information.
Yes.
And Michael Shore, who was our only male nurse that we've had on so far, Michael said, he was talking about the fact that the medical care system in our country is in some of the state it's in because very often we've had this kind of codependent, you know, I can do anything I want and I'm not going to have to pay for it, somebody will fix me attitude. So how do you feel about that when you come up against that as a nurse and you kind of see that lack of awareness? How does that, that frustrate you? Or
oh yeah, you know, that's where the feminist, almost the real social activist comes up in me, because I feel as though society is breeding that consciousness, because there's money in it. When people feel as though there's something out there that they can have and get a 5-minute fix from, then of course that's what they're going to want. And I think society promotes that attitude. You see it in the media. You see it in the you see it all over the place. That
interesting.
Go to your doctor and ask for this pill. That the pharmaceutical industry is going to save us and preserve us, which is what we all want. You know, we all want to live forever and look like we're 20, maybe 25 forever, and act like we're 25, and be able to move like we're 25. And the more they, what do you call that? This is what happens when you're over 50. You know, the words just fly around your head and then they evaporate.
We call this a senior moment, Barbara. Yes. But you know, it's
the brainwashing that's going on in our society is very troubling to me. And so I was either going to leave nursing or I was going to find a way that I could advocate for myself and for others in a way that, that gave me a sense of integrity. And that's why I left primary care as a nurse practitioner, because I felt like I wasn't serving myself or my patients ethically, because I knew that the drugs were not simply the answer, and a five-minute visit was not the answer. And so when I said I was going to either leave nursing, if I didn't find what I wanted, I was going to go into blacksmithing, because to work with metal is the metaphor of how human beings can transform. That it's working with the heat, it's working with the material, it's working with all of the variables, and as they come together and synchronize their energies, you can work metal as though it was paper. It will do anything you want it to do. So I love working with metal. It also allowed me to be artistic and to create. And I, you know, there's a lot of me that loves that aspect of our beingness, our capacity to be artistic and to create and to make an aesthetic world in an already most beautiful world. So that's why if I was not going to address the core of what I thought healthcare could be, if I could not promote it, then I was going to get out.
Well, so you had talked about integrity a great deal during our previous conversations.
Well,
and
isn't that what healthcare is? I mean, how can you do healthcare in a way that is that lacks integrity? I mean, what are you? You're not doing healthcare then. You're doing you're perpetuating sick care. And, you know, when I see us using pharmaceuticals as a way to suppress symptoms, which is the nature of pharmaceuticals by and large, when I see that application, I think that that is a way of promoting the continuation of a sick person. And that's what you're doing. You're guaranteeing a customer. And I think that that's not very ethical.
Well, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about your vision, because you shared that what was missing for you was a philosophy that human beings were a form of energy, and they were a vibrant part of the whole of the universe. And you did find a program that actually supported and enhanced your sense of well-being within the learning experience within the nursing graduate program. So when we come back, we're going to take another two-minute break. Time is just flying by. I knew it would. When we come back, we're going to talk more about that, Barbara. Okay, don't go away.
I don't want my daughter to be labeled.
Hey, my son was just like I was in school. What's the big deal?
My daughter's just going through a phase. She'll get over it.
Kids with learning difficulties don't need excuses. They need help. Today, there are millions of kids with learning difficulties, and they're struggling in school. But the fact is, a lot of these kids are smart. They just learn differently. So if you're the parent of a child who's struggling to learn, the more you learn, the better off your child will be. If you act now and get the proper help, your child can do well in school and in life. So if you think that there's something wrong, do something right. Now, get help. For free information on how to help your child, visit www.focusonlearning.org, www.focusonlearning.org, or call 1-888-478-MIND. Do it for your child. Do it for yourself. But do it now. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coordinated Campaign for Learning Disabilities.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Stewart. I'm calling about your gas bill.
I know. I'm late. I'm working two jobs and doing everything I can. I mean...
Let's put a glass of water, Mommy.
Oh, I'll be there in a minute, Lisa.
Mrs. Stewart?
I'm really trying here. It's just that things are a little difficult right now.
Do you have our address, Mrs. Stewart?
Yes, I do.
Heat or food? One in five American children faces hunger because of decisions like this. To help, call 1-800-FEED-KIDS or visit feedingchildrenbetter.org. Hunger, a choice no one should have to make. A public service message brought to you by America's Second Harvest, Feeding Children Better, and the Ad Council.
And we're back at Celebrating Whole Health. Barbara Stark is our guest, and
We're getting down and dirty with Barbara today. We've got two old hippy-dippy flower kids here, and we've got our producer, Bill, who's an old flower child himself. At break time, we're all talking about what we're really aware of in our generation, and we're having a very generational discussion, talking about what we know is happening in terms of, Barbara used the word propaganda. Barbara, do you want to jump off from propaganda, and then do you want to talk about your graduate program that you felt you really went home when you found your graduate program?
Well, yeah, I want you to come back and speak to that, the issue of the propaganda, because you said it most elegantly, and that talk what you were saying during break, Georgiana, about when you offer a product or when you offer something with an agenda.
Well, this is true whether you're a parent, whether you're a partner, whether you're a medical professional, or you're a used car salesman. When you provide information and you have an agenda, which means you have any kind of gain whatsoever, anytime information is provided that you are not completely detached from, it becomes propaganda. And I will just address this very quickly because we want to speak to you, Barbara, and your experience. In the program that we have here in Boston, we train health educators, we train nurses, and we train other people who are medical professionals to be whole health educators. Our educators are really brought to the realization that if you sell anything, if you have any interest in anything, even if it's a yoga class that you're telling your patient about, your friend's yoga class, anytime we have any gain in any way from the information that we impart, it becomes corrupted and it becomes propaganda. And this is one of the major difficulties that we see in every walk of our lives today. So instead of, although we've had this wonderful infusion of the internet and all this information, unfortunately, it is so propagandized, it is so agenda-based, that we have more confusion, we have more disruption, as it were, than we have solutions. And that was my comment, essentially.
Well, and I think we need to see all of this as a good thing, because I think it is an inevitable part of our evolution. You know, I think that it is no accident that the internet and globalization is coming around at the same time that we are moving up. If you look at the work of Carolyn Miss and her work with the chakras, and how as a human race we are evolving ourselves through the chakra system. And so all of this is very congruent with our own evolution. And, you know, Margaret Rogers, nurse theorist, says that we are on our way to becoming homo spatialis. That, you know, it's no fluke that this isn't just a research and development plan out there to have a space station. I mean, we truly are moving to be space people. And so the dance that's going on now for us, for our children and the next seven generation, is how to do the dance between transitioning from a homo sapiens to a homo spatialis, to space people. And so we're the transition folks. We're the ones who have to help provide this transition. So I'm not faulting that we're in a stressful time. Probably every time is stressful, but this is a unique time. My concern is that the power in society to help us make that transition is being quite abused, because those who have the power are using it to support their agenda, which is to support their market share, if you will.
I love the expression stakeholder. If you go to websites on all of these, it's really disturbing. If you go to websites for people who are at least purporting to be supporting integrative medicine or supporting health information, like information therapy, this new kid on the block. It's all about purporting to be serving people, but they use words like stakeholders, you know. Mm-hmm. And you really know what they're saying is the people who are going to make money off of this, you know. I couldn't agree with you more.
But isn't that important? I mean, don't we all need to make money? That's the, you know, as Deepak Chopra says, money is like blood. It must run, it must continue to run and flow. And why would we do anything if we were not remunerated in some way?
Oh, Barbara, money is not the problem. The interesting thing is that what happens to at least, I mean, I can only speak from my American experience. What happens to us in our culture, money is a wonderful thing, and we need it, and it serves us, and we're blessed to have it. But what happens is we never know when enough is enough.
Uh-huh.
We never, it's like, why are we so obese in our culture? Why is there such rampant pathology in the United States? Mm-hmm. We never know when to stop eating. We don't know when to stop spending. We don't know when to stop hoarding. When is enough resource? We are 5% of the world population. We consume 75% of the world resources.
Yeah. Yeah.
When do we learn that we are creating a global pathology by our inability to know when enough is enough?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my question to Deepak Chopra would be, when do we know that the flow, when do we know that there's enough of an infusion? You know, how do we know when to stop? Which is really the question, isn't it?
Well, when there's less disparity, when there is less inequity.
Exactly.
When you have healthcare that benefits all of us. And we could go on ad nauseum on in this area.
Oh, let's do it. No, I'm only kidding.
Well, I think
we're having a wonderfully political discussion, and I'm deeply grateful to you for being willing to go there. But you didn't answer the question about your graduate program because you were very enthusiastic about. Please tell us about that graduate program because it really did, you said it invited you back into nursing.
Well, what happened, as I was in my graduate program at Michigan State, I concurrently did the Healing Touch program, which at that time was sponsored, supported by the American Holistic Nurses Association. Now Healing Touch is its separate organization that we endorse as the AHNA, but they have their own certification board, and that program is what really drew me back into nursing with a passion. And so as I did that program and integrated it into my graduate program, I could support and understand why I was so in love with nursing and what advanced practice nursing meant to me, or even regular nursing, because the Healing Touch program helped me appreciate that we are indeed whole beings. We are energy beings, that life is a continuum of vibrational frequencies, and how you work with the human body in dis-ease, in wellness, has everything to do with working with it energetically. And so that perspective is what I needed to remember who I was as a human being, who I was as a woman, and who I was as a nurse, because it allowed me to see myself as a pan-dimensional person. But when I started looking at energy medicine, energy therapy, then everything made more sense to me. I could understand disease was simply an imbalance in the frequency of that particular organ or that particular system, rather than something that was an entity of its own, as the medical model looks at.
What a beautiful way of looking at disease and wellness. It's almost as if we are a radio that needs to be tuned energetically. Barbara, I'd love, I'm looking at the clock. I can't believe the time is zipping by, and before we lose you and you leave us today, you spoke about this
wonderful work that you've been doing in lymphedema, and you shared a story about a particular patient who was suffering from lymphedema as a result of mastectomy, and she was so good and so kind and so desperate to get help that she sent you to get training in this wonderful work that you do, and you came back from your training, and you now have a private practice in lymphedema therapy for post-surgical and post-radiation patients. What I'd like to do is take a short break, come back, and if you'd share with us not only the healing touch work that you've been doing, but this wonderful lymphedema work that has served people who really are looking for help with a problem that has not, up to this point, had a lot of help for it. So let's take a 2-minute break, and we'll be right back.
AIDS has created over 14 million orphans worldwide. That's the equivalent of every child under 5 in America, with nobody to watch over them. To help, please go to apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
Brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey, Mary. Angie. Did you girls know Thomas Jefferson designed a macaroni machine?
No way!
Yeah, sure did. Lots of other interesting stuff, too. Maybe we can hook up later and talk about it.
All right! Wow, Peter is so buff now.
So, history buff. Been working out at loc.gov.
What's that?
Library of Congress website. Cool films, archival photos, funky music downloads, fun facts.
Guess that explains why he's picking up more than historical dates these days.
Ooh, look! There's Todd.
Hey, you two. You know, music's come a long way since Thomas Edison invented the concrete phonograph cabinet in 1912. Want to go to a concert Friday?
Sure! Smooth! Todd's buff now, too.
So history buff.
Sigh. Want to get really history buff? Visit loc.gov, the Library of Congress website, and find out more about history, America's great national pastime. A public service message brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
And we are back. Barbara Stark is our guest today, and Barbara and I are we're having a ball here. Let me tell you, we're cutting up the rug. Barbara is directly responsible. She is, I call her our co-producer, our angel in the wings. She, I say this metaphorically, twisted my arm to host the show so that there could be a voice for nursing. And boy, we're giving nursing a voice today, aren't we, Barbara?
Well, we're having fun.
I know we certainly are. I think we're talking about very relevant subjects, and I know that these topics and these sentiments are with a lot of people in healthcare and especially nurses today. But before we went to the break, we were talking about your work with lymphedema. Now, this is very important, and believe it or not, we only have maybe 12 minutes left to the show, and this is work that I think other nurses and maybe other medical professionals want to hear about. So would you tell us the story about your patient and how you started to do this wonderful work?
Yeah, well, lymphedema is caused from damage to the lymph pathways, okay, that run superficial in the body. So you have a biplexus system of lymph flow. And you know, the lymph is so important to the body. It's the garbage disposal system of the body. It's the immune resilience system of the body. It's our defense system. It's the system that allows us to have our integrity.
And it removes proteins, doesn't it, Barbara?
Pardon?
It removes proteins,
yes,
which
yes.
is so critical.
Proteins in the form of bacteria. You know, large molecules that can't fit through the circulatory system. And it helps move them out of the body, keeps the body clear, keeps the body flowing, and brings what I call radiance to the body. So when you want to be radiantly well, you need to have a well-functioning lymph system. So when people have a mastectomy, what used to happen, they would have the breast removed or the tumor removed, whatever, and then they'd have the lymph nodes in that surrounding area either stripped out or irradiated. When you do that, it damages that area, and so what the body does naturally is heal that area by producing scarring. The scar tissue impedes the flow of lymph back to the heart. That's where the lymph is wanting to get back to general circulation and dump all this garbage that it's collected so that you can pass it out through the urine. So if the lymph nodes in the area of the cancer have been damaged and scarring ensues, then the lymph has nowhere to go, and it will accumulate in that particular quadrant of the body. So whether it's a leg or whether it's an arm, it will simply accommodate the slow or enabled pathways by expanding. And so you get these larger than normal limbs, which is called lymph edema.
And there's an enormous amount of swelling and discomfort in that.
Yes. Huge. So, you know, people can't wear their clothes anymore. They have to wear clothes that will accommodate that large limb. So as I was, I get this patient. She comes to me. She's got lymphedema, and she wants me to do massage or energy work. And I'm looking at her thinking, wow, I think this is a little beyond the scope of what I was familiar with. So we start researching what is lymphedema, what's going on, and ended up at the Lerner Clinic in Princeton. So Robert Lerner is an oncology surgeon, elegant doctor, physician. He had gone to Europe, studied lymphedema, came back, and developed a program which was a massage and bandaging and therapy for lymphedema. So I went there, got certified in the program, came back and started working with patients with lymphedema, only because I didn't know what to do with it and I wanted to. And this patient was an absolute patron for me. And she wanted help and supported me in helping herself and others. So anyway, that's what I did. So I would incorporate lymphedema therapy with healing touch because I felt that the energy therapy will always accelerate whatever therapy you want to do with someone. If you do energy therapy with it, you'll always get an acceleration of a response and a deeper response. So that's what I did for a long time.
You are presently, though, in practice.
Well,
in addition to teaching, which we want to talk about your teaching work.
Well, now I'm teaching in a school of nursing, and I don't have time to be a lymphedema therapist. And so what I did, I started a wellness clinic on campus so that I had an avenue to continue doing healing touch. I also do auricular acupuncture for the prevention and treatment of stress and addictions. That's where I'm at now. So I stay with the lymphedema as a philosophy for my own background in holistic nursing, because I think that whatever we can do to help lymph flow continues to provide radiance to the person. And so all of my work through my 25, almost 30 years of nursing has been in the area of helping people shine. And if you have a healthy immune system, you will shine, guaranteed. If you have, whether it's doing it through energy therapy or nutrition or auricular acupuncture or whatever avenue of alternative complementary therapies, the purpose of those therapies is to invite people to shine. And so I think that all of my holistic experience has been in that arena, in looking at in integrity and what is it that will support the integrity of the body and the spirit.
In our conversations, there were so many things that we talked about. One of them was the teaching you're doing now at the university in the nursing program.
Uh-huh.
And I want to touch on that, and I'm aware that we have a very few moments left I would like to bring up and have you speak to, Barbara, if you would speak to the comments you made about the metaphor you see in the work, in all the work that you do, and our relationship with the earth.
Well, it's to me, it's kind of a no-brainer that the awareness that we have as human beings, if we are truly connected to ourselves as human beings, then that connection will extend to the earth, because the earth is our home. And so what I bring to my students, who are nursing students, is an awareness of who they are as human beings, not just as nurses, but as beings connected to each other, connected to the earth. And so, I'm not so worried that we take care of the earth. I think the earth can take care of us. Our job is to be responsible in our own awareness of our connection to the earth. So that as nurses, if we are aware of the impact of the environment on the human being, if we are aware of the impact that the earth has on us, I was talking the other day with our students, look at the change of seasons. Notice how we are different. As the seasons are changing, we are changing. What has that meant to you? So again, it's going within. And as you listen to your own heart song, as you remember who you are as a human being, then you will connect. You will connect to another person. You will connect to the earth. You'll connect to yourself. And that, in that act of being more connected, those outside will feel more connected to us. So it's, again, as within, so without. So nursing offers us that opportunity to be environmentally conscious, because you can't care for the self and not be aware of the environment. And that's a whole other conversation on the impact that the environment is having on the integrity of the body.
Well, you're going to have to come back and have a whole another conversation with us. Barbara, we're going to go to a break and come back for our last few minutes together, but I'd like to read something before the break, and when we come back, I would love for you to talk about this. This is what Barbara Stark has at the bottom of all of her emails, the many, many emails that I've had the pleasure of receiving from her. People abide on the earth. Earth abides in the heavens. The heavens abide in love, and love abides in all. That is what makes us one. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with more of Barbara Stark.
Do you know what a child who can't read grows up to be? A statistic.
I know I should read to my son more, but I'm just too tired.
Well, how tired will you be of getting notes from school that your child can't keep up with the class? 2 out of 3 African-American fourth graders are struggling to read. Reading to your child now for just 15 minutes a day can make a lifetime of difference. To get Read and Rise, a free booklet on how you can help your child become a good reader, call 1-866-522-READ. A public service message brought to you by the National Urban League and the Ad Council.
We're back at Celebrating Whole Health with Barbara Stark, who is a member of the Leadership Council of the American Holistic Nurses Association. Barbara, before the break, I read the bottom of all of your emails, that wonderful poem that you include underneath your telephone number. Would you talk to why it's there and what it all means to you in our closing minutes?
Well, it's there because it resonates with me, because I feel the truth of that. That is my truth, that there is a oneness that connects us together. So, you know, Georgiana, you have a mind and a consciousness. Bill, you have a mind and a consciousness. Every one of our listeners has her mind, his mind, consciousness. And so how many are there in this world? Well, you know, if you read Larry Dossey and the other holistic leaders that have been talking about holism and what it means to be holistic, I came to an appreciation that, you know, there can only be one consciousness that supports all of us. And so whether you call it God or Yahweh or the Absolute or Allah, you know, it matters not how you name it, her or she. What matters is that we all respect that there is some essence or energy that holds us all together. And what each of us is a manifestation of one aspect of that energy. So in my heart, love is the energy, and every one of us is a thread or a hue if you could look at us as all colors of the rainbow. And so each one of us is an aspect of that essence. So the essence is love, and the more we move with love, the more we move into harmony, or the more there arises a harmonic amongst us. So I thought that'd be fun to put on the email. What the heck, you know?
Well, Barbara, I love getting your emails for that very reason, because you remind all of us that it's really about finding that peaceful place and living cooperatively. Isn't it about being together and living cooperatively? Today has been an absolute joy. The hour went flying by. I had the most fun. You are near and dear to the people who know you, and certainly have the privilege and pleasure of working with you. We thank you so much, and I especially love the privilege of you sharing with all of us your delightful insights. And I think you're very profound, your profound politics, and you and I are both kind of like, we're a little roguey when it comes to that, so it's always fun to find a like-minded soul. Thank you so much for coming on the show.